You know more because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. By all of the things I never had.
Probably what I'm most excited about is that dream of that conference center down on that property, to which we always, I think that was what the voters voted on the first time with this public. So we're trying to bring back and fulfill promises that were made when these voters voted in 2005.
I think it's just going to be a difficult place. Having done event centers like the Civic Center, the Bay Center, when I was at the county, those don't make money. I mean, they're constantly, every year, you got to figure out how to feed them.
So a little bit of context here. Community Maritime Park, which seems to be the never-ending, never-there, what-do-we-do-with-it kind of proposition for the Pensacola area. The first voice you heard was Quint Studer. Of course, you know who Quint is. Talking back in 2015 to City Council, talking about the then plan to bring like a educational campus with UWF, with some classrooms, a conference center connected to that, a museum, and you know, that kind of stuff, which that never came to fruition. And then the mayor, Grover Robinson, talking about the problem with the current plan to put a affordable housing slash conference center slash parking garage all standalone on its own. The problem there is that, you know, these things don't make money. And there's been a question raised since Quint wrote an article for the PNJ about all the things that are wrong with the current proposal that is facing the city council tonight in their meeting, and they've kind of compared his comments now to back then. I think those two can be reconciled pretty easily, but instead of me doing it, I'll let him do it. Quint Studer joins us now by phone. Quint, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Casual observers hear you say yay to a convention center back then and no to a convention center now, but they're two very different proposals, right?
Yeah, I don't know why Councilman Hill seemed to need to post something like that. Seems out of desperation. But there's a huge difference. Back then, the conference center in 2015 was to coincide with another building I was building, privately funded, all paying taxes, costing the taxpayers anything, in fact, bringing money to the city. To go with what I wanted to do was create a center for entrepreneurship. I had just given $1 million to University of West Florida. We thought we could house it in a building, house everything else that supported small businesses, because, you know, that's sort of what I'm still trying to do, and then create a conference center with that for what we do at Studer Community Institute right now, training, development of small businesses and things like that. So EntreCon, those types of things. Privately funded, paying taxes.
And that was the proposal back then, which, of course, did not come to fruition. And as you note, some of those functions were eventually put into place in the old bank building that's now the Studer Community Institute, that I'll be rappelling off of, by the way, coming up in about a month or so. But the proposal that's on the table for today, the one here, it is also a convention center, but it's a very different kind of convention center proposal than that one, right?
Yeah, well, I think that going back to the history, too, remember that was 2015, and I keep telling people, I keep trying to escape this project, and it keeps pulling me back in somehow, or at least I feel the need to get pulled back in. So what happened then, and give me some time, is Mayor Hayward came to me and D.D. Davis, and they said they were concerned, because when they're looking at those parcels, it seems that people say, what's going to happen to the 19 acres? So, Mayor Hayward has development background. The question was, could we put a master plan together? Everything we'd heard at CivicCon expertise, which many of the city council members don't attend, on best practices, basically talked about you need a plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, you end up putting the wrong building in the wrong place, and that can hurt you for years and years and years. We've lived with that here in Pensacola before. So I said, well, I don't want somebody to just take a parcel and do something regret. So I went to there in the city, and we actually paid $300,000 to lease property we knew we had never built on just to protect it for this plan. Then we paid about $400,000 to Jeff Speck, a national expert, DPZ, Peter Bazzilli, brought all these experts in to do it exactly what CivicCon said, transparent, open, including citizens. We had over 600 citizens involved in the planning. Then we had an 8-person local committee with almost 40% minority objectively rank the proposals, 8 of them that came in, ones that went. One of them was Silver Hills, of course, which is on this property. And sadly, the city council gave him so much trouble. If you're going to spend $60 million, you want to be appreciated,
right,
not attacked. And they said, city, we're not doing it. So they did an RFP out. And I think my biggest disappointment was, after spending all that time, all that community input, having a plan, that the one they chose didn't coincide with what I would call a relatively recent master plan. So no matter what you did in the past, whether it's wrong or right, let's at least take a double check. And now that we have a brand new West Main master plan that was informed the city council numerous times, even voted to change some zoning to allow some of the projects to go in a little closer, then all of a sudden out of the blue go with a project that doesn't fit the master plan. And literally, one of the council members, Councilwoman Bahar, didn't like the fact they're going to give an E-date to Silver Hills to pay not as much taxes for 10 years, and all of a sudden they're going to now tell a project you don't have to pay any taxes, which is $30 million lost, and you don't have to pay for land, which is about $10 million. So you've lost, you spent, you know, between what you could get, $40 million before you even start. Then you have a taxpayer-funded facility, which I agree with Grover Robinson, you know, is not viable. And if city council feels so strong with it, they should run it and lease it like I do the stadium and take the risk.
You know, it's a strange thing, as you say, because the proposal on the table doesn't seem to fit a lot of the things that we know are better practices. Like, you know, the parking garage, if it's going to stand all by itself and be taxpayer funded, well, the better plan is like the Southtown that you build, which is you have a parking garage wrapped by something else, so you don't have to look at it, but also not be taxpayer funded, because then you have, you know, why is the city building a parking garage for future prospects when, you know, we don't have anything else? And the same thing with the convention center. Like, you're not going to have the hotels that the convention center needs. Now, if somebody else like UWF wants to build it, great. But if the city's building it in the hopes that what hotels will be built, I mean, it's a weird proposal. I mean, I'm willing to listen. I mean, I'm willing to listen to the proposal, but I don't see a way that this makes sense.
Well, financially, it doesn't. And I think what happened is I think some of the city council members probably got embarrassed when Silver Hills walked, because they maybe didn't think they would. So now they're trying to rationalize, well, this is even better. And it just isn't. And again, we spent 600 citizens. We weighed in. What's really sad for me, Andrew, is you try to follow exactly a best practice. Everything's transparent. And one of the things I've heard from a few city council members is, well, we picked them because they came and talked to us and walked the halls. But there's no objective. And I think that's good for them. And they were totally honest, by the way. They said this is publicly funded. It might break even at best. So it isn't like they pulled any, you know, they were straight with the council.
Candid,
and I think they're probably as stunned as, they're as stunned as everybody else probably. I think they really wanted to, you know, they build parking garages, what they do for a living. And that's probably what they were hoping to get out of it. And they still can if they build a good parking garage. And they could have done it with South Hills or Silver Hills,
yeah. No, what's interesting, Quint, I really am reluctant to say it this way, but I'm going to say it because I think it's not that unfair. What you're describing happening is the old complaint about backroom deals. I mean, you have an open, transparent process with the public, with metrics, with input and experts, and then that gets overturned by four city council members who, at least to some degree, their mind was persuaded because one person showed up in their office, or a couple people showed up in their office and talked to them, overturning what all of this other process was. That's exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to get away from in Escambia County.
Oh, I agree. In fact, that's exactly what it reminds me of. It's, you know, exactly. It's what we've tried to prevent, what we've tried to be so transparent with and everything. And that's why we had eight people objectively measure. There was no objective criteria. And to blow off 600 citizens and what, 700,000, it's almost bad faith. You're going to take my money for a West Wing master plan and the leases, and then say all of a sudden you're not going to follow it. It's just, you know, I travel with my book, Building Vibrant Communities, and I talk about if you want to get private investment, you've got to have some more integrity than what we're showing right now.
Well, and it's the same old story that we've seen so many times, where somebody wants to build a project in Pensacola and then they run up against the Pensacola of it all. And they just, you know, it's, I would, if I were a developer, I would be maddening to me too. And, you know, what you need for a thriving business environment is you need predictable processes. You need to be able to make a strategy based on not a shifting landscape. And to me, what this shows more than anything is absolutely a quicksand shifting kind of anyway. So again, I'm willing to listen. I'm curious to hear more if they've got a way to make it, you know, revenue positive somehow. But it's frustrating.
Well, here's what I've heard. Now, here's what I've heard. Well, they could bond this thing. Would only cost the taxpayers $2 million per year if they can. And then somebody even said, well, we're going to be able to pay those taxes because of the building that's going to go on West Main by Inspire. Now, first of all, I own West Main. I own, the ECUA site.
That right.
It's ironically because now they want Inspire to follow the plans to create the taxes for something that they want to use public money, when they're the ones that sort of said to Inspire, I don't think so. And it was sort of sad. You know, we've been trying to get minority-owned owners yeah. in our community. So you also turn away minority-owned businesses that have had some success with Harold Dawson Jr.
Well, it's as I hear it in your voice and even as I think about it, it's a frustrating situation. There's always time for change. You know, political bodies can make different decisions at all points. And, you know, I know a lot of these people generally have good intentions. I just, you know, this is not producing the outcome that I think people really expected. That's why I wanted to have you on this morning to talk about it. Quint Studer, thank you so much for the time this morning. Thanks for sort of continuing to give guidance and input and helping to build Pensacola into what it is today. I appreciate it, sir.
You're very kind. Thank you.